How are the U.S. businesses of Philip Morris International invested in America? We're invested in advancing science, giving adults who smoke better options. We're invested in American manufacturing, helping local economies thrive. We're invested in community, supporting military veterans and their families, disaster relief, and economic empowerment. Because we're proud to be invested in America. See how at USPMI.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, April 17th. I'm Belle Lin for The Wall Street Journal. AI agents and chatbots have come a long way from suggesting eating rocks and putting glue on pizza. But as AI improves, figuring out when it's making a mistake is getting tougher. We're diving into what you can do to avoid errors. Then, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman's financial interests have long been hard to fully decipher. Now, his personal investments are becoming more important than ever as OpenAI barrels toward a planned IPO. We're taking a look at how that's putting Altman's leadership of the company into question. But first, AI has gotten a lot more trustworthy over the last few years. But as it gets smarter, it's actually harder for us to determine when it's making a mistake. That makes it difficult to depend on AI for a variety of tasks, from small to large. And when AI agents, the bots that can do things for us, are in the mix, things get even weirder. WSJ reporter Catherine Blunt joins us now to break down why this is happening and what we can do when AI goes rogue. So clearly AI is still far from perfect, and why is that becoming a more acute problem for people?
As people use it for all kinds of different things and increasingly sophisticated use cases, it is still really important to make sure that you're checking the output really consistently, but that's hard to do, especially if it's spitting out enormous amounts of data, right? Asking it to summarize a 1,000-page document. Who has the time to go through the whole thing? That's the whole point of asking AI for assistance in that regard. Or, you know, there's been a rise in using AI to generate code, but companies are increasingly coming to understand that when AI-generated code breaks, it can cause a lot of issues, and it can be difficult for humans to go in and troubleshoot after something like that if they didn't generate the code themselves.
And you spoke with some people who have had these pretty bad experiences with AI. How are they dealing with the mistakes and fabrications that it comes up with?
Yeah, I spoke to a number of people who were surprised by the extent to which AI was erring. I spoke to a gentleman who had asked Gemini to summarize some of his emails. He was having a conversation with it while he was driving, and it summarized some emails that he had no recollection of whatsoever. And he asked it what account it was referencing, and it referenced an account that was not his. It turns out that Gemini had invented the email address and the emails. He said it, you know, makes it so that he feels like he can sort of use it, but has to make sure that he's staying vigilant in making sure that the output is actually accurate. And I spoke to a couple of other folks who echoed that sentiment. One woman referred to it as cognitive overhead. She's an AI herself. She asked AI to summarize a conversation that they had, and it hallucinated her last name. It just completely made it up wholesale, which is in some ways, I mean, it's sort of funny, but it's also just a stark contrast between the sophistication of what she's trying to develop and like such a sort of a simple glaring error.
So we can certainly go back and double check AI's work, but why is that not always a perfect solution?
That raises the question of whether it was prudent to use AI for the task in the first place. If it takes additional time to check, would it have been better if you did it yourself? But then there's also just the sort of the human psychology aspect of it. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania this year put out a study that looked at the propensity of humans to just simply accept AI output as it is. Like, under what conditions is that more likely? And it's as if they're under time pressure or face a complex task or don't really understand what they're using AI for. I mean, all of these things that are, I mean, extremely common. We are using AI under time pressure. We are using AI for complex tasks. We are using AI for things we may not understand very well. It makes it more likely, psychologically, that a human might just say, okay, well, this is the output, and it's probably mostly right, and I'll accept that. And in some cases, that may be true. But in other cases, when it's not, that could be quite problematic.
And that makes me think about the companies like Google, Anthropic, and OpenAI. How have they responded to complaints that their AI can be wrong?
Well, I think every big developer acknowledges that it's a very difficult problem to solve, in part because the models are trained to produce answers even when they're not 100% sure. These are well-known issues within the industry and certainly, yeah, risks that the companies acknowledge. Every model comes with a card that says, like, you know, this is the likelihood that it'll hallucinate or have other issues. But yeah, tricky problems to solve and not going to be solved completely anytime soon, if ever.
That was WSJ reporter Catherine Blunt. What mistakes have you encountered when using AI? If you're a listener on Spotify, leave us a comment with your experience. Coming up, Sam Altman's personal investments have long been a source of mystery and concern as they're increasingly tangled up with OpenAI's. We did some digging into Altman's financial interests and what they mean for the company. That's after the break.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. A dream home isn't a dream home if it comes with a nightmare commute. That's why Realtor.com has Real Commute, so you can search by drive time. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros' number one most trusted app, based on August 2025 proprietary survey.
The net worth of many of the wealthiest tech titans, from Elon Musk to Mark Zuckerberg, is tied up in shares of the companies they run, which are often disclosed in public filings. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman's finances are comparably opaque, making it difficult to know how his investments might influence decisions he makes at the company. Here to break down the specifics of those investments for us and what they could mean for OpenAI going forward is WSJ reporter Berber Jin. And a heads up before we start, News Corp, owner of Dow Jones Newswires and The Wall Street Journal, has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. So Berber, what are some of Sam Altman's personal investments and how are they potentially a conflict of interest with OpenAI?
So Sam Altman, long before he joined OpenAI, built a career in Silicon Valley as a venture capital investor. He has invested in hundreds of startups, and as a result, his financial interests are quite opaque just because startups are private companies and they often don't disclose ownership. And so some of Sam Altman's companies have either recently partnered with OpenAI or had been in talks to partner with OpenAI through Altman. So one example of this is Helion, which is a nuclear fusion startup that Altman has invested in for over a decade. A sizable chunk of his net worth is tied up in this company. And it's very hard to know how good the technology is. So fusion is like a notoriously difficult scientific process to turn into a commercially viable machine. And recently, Altman asked OpenAI to lead a funding round for Helion and invest $500 million into the company. And so that's a good example of how Altman has tried in recent months to get OpenAI to invest in his own companies where he is separately a pretty big shareholder. And that is what poses all sorts of conflicts of interest questions that are definitely arrangements that companies usually try to avoid.
But this issue of Altman's personal investments has come up before, and notably during his brief ouster as CEO in November 2023. What exactly happened after that, and why did this stay a problem?
When Sam Altman was famously fired and then rehired as CEO, one of the laundry lists of concerns that OpenAI's former board of directors had was Altman's essentially side projects and investments in startups. So we've reported that the board that fired Sam felt that he wasn't being completely transparent with disclosures of startup holdings, and it got to a point where it became very difficult for them to know how those financial interests might have been influencing the decisions he made at OpenAI. And so a new board came in once Altman was reinstated and sought to address this problem very clearly and to the public. they said that they had created a new independent audit committee that would be tasked with evaluating conflicts of interest. And they also said that they had developed a strengthened conflicts of interest policy, but to this date, they have not disclosed any details about it. And so this raises a really interesting question about what exactly that new board of directors did specifically to address Altman's conflicts problems. What we do know is that Altman in recent months tried to do deals between OpenAI and his portfolio companies. We don't really know how the board feels about these deals, whether they were even informed about these deals. Those issues very much are still at play.
So to me, this also brings up the question where Altman clearly has plenty of supporters, but there are also shareholders who are questioning his leadership, especially as OpenAI moves towards an IPO. So why are they critical of Sam's leadership?
I mean, OpenAI has had this really interesting moment now where their lead in the AI race has really slipped for the first time ever. And that's come from Google on the consumer side and Anthropic on the business side. And I think a lot of investors are now thinking twice about whether Altman is the best person to lead OpenAI as it becomes a public company. They will say that Altman's done a tremendous job, obviously, getting OpenAI to this point. It's valued at $852 billion. But a lot of his initiatives that he championed last year haven't worked out, the most prominent example being Sora, the video generation app. And it's pretty well known that Altman doesn't like being a manager, and he has also publicly said that he has very mixed feelings about leading OpenAI as a public company. So when OpenAI goes public, they will have to file a prospectus, and that prospectus will be scrutinized to death by Wall Street investors, Silicon Valley investors, the general public. And so I think that will be a really interesting moment to see how they disclose Altman's conflicts of interest and other governance issues related to OpenAI.
That was WSJ reporter Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. Additional thanks to Imani Moise. Jessica Fenton and Michael Lavelle wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Our development producer is Aisha El Muslim. And Chris Zinsley is the deputy editor of audio for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Logging off for the weekend, I'm your host, Belle Lin. Thanks for listening.